Holy Gospel today comes from Matthew in the 10th chapter, starting at the 40th verse. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to the one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the gospel of our Lord this day. Amen. So today, sometimes we miss the smallest words in the gospel message, and they can mean the biggest things. Did you notice it today? The word "you." You in the first line. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Jesus is placing his hearers, you and me, not in the place of the ones offering the welcome, but rather in the place of the one receiving the welcome. He says, in effect, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the Father who sent me. So rather than being a commandment, this text today is a promise. We should also note that the "you" here is plural. As my followers, all you all in my southern, I say, will be welcomed by some. And when you are welcomed, you will be revealing both my presence and the Father's presence. So as you find yourself in Jesus' words, you are not the ones welcoming, but the ones being welcomed. I don't know about you. This makes me think about these last few weeks. Jesus has sent out the disciples, all 12 of them, on various missions, and offers words of guidance today. Today we hear words of promise under the wider mandate to follow Jesus and keep going. Jesus tells his disciples, as it were, "I am sending you into a dangerous world as part of my mission to love and save and bless, to be reconciled to this broken world. It is dangerous out there, but you will find welcome." Those who welcome and receive you also welcome and receive me, and there will be rewarded. They will be rewarded. So as we are going out to be welcomed, I think, how are we and you? How are you presenting yourselves as disciples of Jesus? That's the question, I think. Because as we hear in the beginning of the Romans text, it's not always easy. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification, and the end is eternal life. And for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a big chunk to think about. And as we hear about not letting sin exercise dominion and power over you, or that the wages of sin is death, I think that as a Christian, sometimes we think of death as the moment our hearts stop beating and our brains stop functioning, and we assume the Apostle Paul is meaning of those sins that we eventually physically die. But another way to understand this as Jesus' followers, in Paul's perspective, is the idea of death as eternal separation from God's loving presence, or people who don't have a faithful relationship or righteousness with God, or that we're not enslaved to God in Jesus Christ to pay the price for their sin. But what Paul is really thinking about regarding death is not just something people experience when and after they die, but also as something we're experiencing here and now every day. Paul is reminding us that those who remain slaves to sin live a kind of separated life, that we settle for far less of a life than God created us to live. So this past week, I had a conversation about this passage and realized that maybe we are not comfortable with the phrase slaves to sin or enslaved to God. Certainly these phrases challenge us, enslaved or slave to God, because to be a slave, as Paul understands it, is to surrender your life to the control of another. Of course, in our day and age, the word slave or slavery calls to mind 300 years of social sin and evil, and we want nothing to do with it. So what Paul means when he says slaves or enslaved, he is really driving toward the idea of ultimate allegiance, loyalty, obedience, and service from our hearts. So when slavery is defined in this way, it turns out that we are all slaves to one sort or another. Some people are slaves to physical fitness, arranging their lives around workouts. Some people arrange their lives around their personal wealth. Some people arrange their lives around binge-watching certain Netflix show, my daughter, Disney Plus, and some around their phones. So if you want to know what or who your master is, we may want to pay attention to what occupies our thoughts and how we spend our time and maybe our talents and our money. Therefore, this passage is inviting you to ask a question. Who do you serve? Where is your heart? And as we serve, is it sin or God? And the scripture reminds us today, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are under law, not under law, but under grace. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gift we're given. Yes, of course, we're not perfect, and the gift of grace daily brings us back to God's forgiveness and Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Yet we have to die daily to our imperfections, our sinful ways, and turn ourselves over to the ongoing eternal life we have in Christ Jesus. Because the love that comes from God, the God who loves us and welcomes us and blesses us and sends us to slay our sin daily and does it so we can go out with grace-filled hearts, with amazing hospitality, called us to be welcomed in this incredible broken world in the name of Jesus Christ. Bishop Michael Reinhart from the Texas Louisiana Gulf Coast Synod reminds us of some questions considered of how we accomplish that hospitality today as a congregation and at Lutheran Church of the Resurrection. He says to us in these questions, can we practice radical hospitality? Can we offer a cup of water in the name of Christ? Can we call a friend who is lonely or has lost a friend lately? Can we have fearless conversations about the tough topics in our country with love today? Can we demonstrate genuine humility and forgiveness? Can we know that God will do something with this social distancing time in COVID, plus trust that God will bring life out of this time of brokenness in our society with Black Lives Matter, and that God will bring new life out of all the death happening today? I believe that we can be actively part of the welcoming as well. That whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. Jesus identifies welcome as a value of God being at work yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's that ongoing promise. It is a value of our faith community at LCR. That loving Jesus means welcoming all people, just like Jesus did. So as we think about hospitality, how do we create safe communities in our neighborhoods? Are we safe for our newcomers, immigrants, all people? Is our congregation, LCR, safe for newcomers, for immigrants, for all people? By safe, we mean not just physically safe, but a place, a neighborhood, a church, a community where people are free to be who they are, to live out their life, their faith, without being verbally or physically or emotionally attacked. Creating truly safe communities takes a lot of work. But it starts from the gospel itself. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Maybe even offered me cake or cookies or coffee or water pre-COVID time. But one way to know is to simply look around. In these days of pandemic, it might mean looking around our streets, who's walking their dog or taking a social distant walk, or in our time, looking in our Zoom conversations and seeing the faces. Who's there? Who is not there? Who in our community is missing? Why are they not there? What might be going on? So let's take time to consider the welcome we have received in Christ, to understand the depth of love to which we ourselves are invited. That eternal life kind of love. The kind of love that accepts us for just who we are. And as we live out the grace-filled love daily, are we showering our world with what I call justice love? Love lived out in public. I certainly hope so. So go today, being embraced by God with the grace-filled justice kind of love that will not let you go, even in the midst of our broken, sinful days, and continue to offer your glorious grace-filled love and welcome to this world. Because whoever gives even a cup of cold water to the one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Thanks be to God. Amen.